Well, we trust that the Lord will meet us out a blessing and some encouragement this morning to our lives. I've been meditating for some time, so I guess somewhat since about the beginning of the meeting, on some of this. And I wrote on the board, "What doest thou here?" And I want to think this morning about Elijah a little bit. Do we remember who the prophet Elijah was? Do we remember he was the one that went up in a chariot of fire and horses? And he had kind of an eventful career, if you want to call it that, in the Lord. And we find him at the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord and Moses. And we find Elijah was one that God really used and worked through. We find him saying to Ahab, a wicked king that had been so wicked, he told him, he said, "It's not going to rain or dew," did he say, "until I say." And so Ahab hunted for him all over the world, the known world of that area, and went to all these countries and took from them. He wanted their word to sign, to swear, to say he's not in our country, because it didn't rain or dew until Elijah said. And that made a real hardship for the country of Israel. But Israel had backslidden into idolatry, and they were worshiping idols, and God was on their trail. And we find Elijah as a real vessel in the hands of the Lord. And when he came back from that 3 years, and we know he was at the brook Cherith, and there was a raven that fed him and brought him meat and bread every day, I believe. We find Elijah was had a pretty amazing life, but it wasn't a cushy life or an easy life. Elijah was a prophet of the Lord, and so that brought on him much wrath from Ahab and Jezebel. And we find him coming back then after 3 years out and calling Ahab to a meeting. And Ahab was ready to listen to him then, because it wasn't going to rain or dew, he was convinced by then, until Elijah said so. So he called him to a meeting, and all the prophets of Baal, or 450 or so. And we find him there, and how that Elijah made a deal with them. And he told them, he said, "Well, let's just let the God that answers by fire be God." And so they was like, "Okay, that's a deal. We'll do that." Well, they called on God all day long, or a big part of the day, cut themselves and did all that they could do before their God, and nothing happened. Finally, Elijah took some stones, what was it, 12 stones, I believe, and he made an altar there, and he killed, what was it, 2 oxen? I haven't read that story, that whole part, in a while. And he put on the altar, and he told them to bring barrels of water and cover all that, and they did that, and they brought more barrels of water and more barrels of water until there was water running all around the trench and everything. And then he just quietly called upon the Lord, and God answered by fire, and it licked up all that water and burned up the sacrifice and all of those things. And then at that point, Elijah called for judgment upon those prophets of Baal. And in that day, that's what they did. And so there was, all those prophets of Baal was destroyed. But that made Jezebel so angry. And we see her wrath. She sent a message to Elijah, and she said, "If you're not like one of those by tomorrow, Let me be so. Well, you know, Elijah was in God's hand, wasn't he? Elijah saw a lot of things. Elijah, after that, he told Ahab, there's an abundance of rain coming. Well, there wasn't any rain in the forecast or in the skies. And so he went up and prayed and he called upon the Lord and told his servant, he said, go look out toward the sea and see if there's anything coming up. And no, there wasn't. And so he prayed again and again and again and again. Seven times. And the seventh time, he said, well, there's a little cloud like a man's hand coming up. And Elijah said, there's rain coming. He was ready to go. And so Elijah took off, and Ahab too, and went to, I believe it was Samaria, wasn't it? And so we find Elijah in that place, Jezebel so angry, not noticing that the God of heaven had worked, that she let it be known to Elijah, by tomorrow at this time, you're going to be dead too. And so we see Elijah's response to that was, after all that God had done in his life, a most amazing prophet's life, and he grabbed up his clothing, mantle, whatever, and took off and ran like he had never probably run before. And he went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he sat down there and he said, am I better than my fathers? He said, oh Lord, take away my life. He requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for am I not better than my fathers? And you know, it says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and there was a cake baking on the coals. And he took that and a cruse of water at his head. And we know the story. He ate and drank and went back to sleep and woke back up and ate again because the angel said, the journey's too great for you. And so it says the Lord came again and the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So I want to start reading in 1 Kings 19. And I want to look at a little bit of what happened here in this prophet's life. Though he knew the Lord, a raven had fed him. He saw fire come out of the sky just days before. And all of these things, Elijah was still a man. And he needed the Lord's help, didn't he? And we find him in verse 8, 19 and 8 of 1 Kings. And he came thither into a cave. So he went 40 days and 40 nights, the scriptures tell us, in the strength of that meat that the angel gave him. And he came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, that's what I wrote on the board, what doest thou here? I can't help but believe God knew every bit of the reason Elijah was there. He knew why Elijah was there, and he knew what was going on. But he asked Elijah this. Why do you suppose he asked Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know, maybe he wanted Elijah to think about things a little. And so Elijah was ready with an answer. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And so that was true. Elijah was running, and he said, I have really been jealous for the Lord. I've really served the Lord with all my heart. And now they're trying to seek my life. Now they're trying to kill me. They killed all the other prophets. And you know, I'm the only one left, and that's why I'm here. I think God knew everything that was in his mind before he ever said a thing. And the Lord said, and he said, go forth and stand up on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You know, that must have been something to see. The rocks, a wind so great that the rocks were crashing and breaking, big rocks breaking apart, and that must have been something. And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And the Lord asked him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, what was all this about anyway? Why all the crashing of the rock? Why the earthquake, the fire that breaks out? What was God doing? Why was he keeping asking Elijah this here? A couple of times now, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he just got through telling him, and God already knew it all anyway. You know what? Sometimes the Lord gets our attention, doesn't he? All this earthquake, all this fire, all these things happening, and the Lord wasn't in it. And that wasn't, God wasn't speaking to him. You know what God was doing? He was getting Elijah's attention so he could speak to him. And you know what? Then there came a still small voice. After Elijah was awed beyond measure, what is going on in my life? I want to tell you something. God began to speak. And God never really answered. He didn't get into a conversation with him. Well, this is why. He asked Elijah, what are you doing here? You already know why you're here, Elijah. But I'll tell you what went on then. Verse 14, 19th chapter of 1 Kings. And so the Lord had asked him again, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, this is what the Lord answered him. After all this trauma of 40 days and 40 nights without eating, running for his life, looking back probably, wondering, am I being chased? Am I being found? And all of the, and then all of this that happened at the cave, and we find here, he tells the Lord again, Lord, they've forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. I've always wondered at this. What a strange answer to all of Elijah's concoctions, all of his argument, all of his running, all of his things. And the Lord just says, Elijah, go back and go over and anoint Hazael king over Syria. What was he anointing a king over Syria for? And he said, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass, well, that's far enough, I suppose. But, well, no, I'll read on. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat. You know what? Elijah, the Lord never got into all that with him. But he had something for him to do. And he spoke by a still small voice and gave him exact directions. Elijah, this is what I want you to do. Get up and go back and anoint the king of Syria. And then go anoint another king over Israel. And then anoint another prophet that's going to be a prophet in your place when you leave. And you know what? That's what he did. And then he only made one statement that we have on record of anything that had to do with what Elisha was going through. And he said, there's 7,000. Just for the record, there's 7,000 that hasn't bowed the knee to Baal yet and hasn't kissed Baal. Well, you know what? God wants to speak to us, folks. And maybe we have, where are we this morning? What doest thou here? Well, you know why you're there, perhaps. All of us here are in different places, folks. But you know what? God may not get into all of that with us, but I'll tell you what he wants to do. He wants to give us clear direction from his very quiet voice. And he has a way of getting a hold of us like he did Elijah. All of this stuff happening, Elijah must have been like, wow, what is going on? Listen, God wants to speak to you and me this morning. And he has a way of getting us in the place where he can. And so this morning, I want to encourage us. He had a very specific plan and things for Elijah's life that he wanted him to do before he took him home. Elijah's thoughts was, he said, Lord, take away my life. Am I better than the others? Folks, listen. God never answered any of that. He just spoke into his life and said, Elijah, this is what I want you to do. And you know what? That solved all the problems. Elijah lost his fear, evidently. He goes back and goes right back into Israel and anoints the king, the next king to be king over Israel. He goes back and anoints another prophet in his place, right back where he ran from. Right back. How did all this happen? Because, folks, God spoke into Elijah's life. The Lord wants to speak into our lives this morning. And I want to encourage us today, when we hear the still small voice, Elijah got up, he went out to the entering in of the cave, and it says he wrapped his face in his mantle in respect to the Lord, that he might not see God, I suppose. And you know, he listened to the Lord. And the Lord gave him very clear direction that was life-changing for him. And you know, you would have thought that the Lord would have had some dialogue with him about all these things. But he asked Elijah that himself. What are you doing here? Elijah, what are you doing? Elijah already knew all that. What Elijah needed was clear direction from the Lord. And that's what God loves to give to you and me this morning. I want to encourage us today as God's people, folks, every one of us on our journey with the Lord, let him speak into our life. And let him get our attention. And let him work in our life. We are like Elijah, folks. We want to think we're not, but I want to tell you something. Next thing you know, you might find yourself 40 days and 40 nights somewhere running. We like to think we wouldn't be that. But folks, sometimes the Lord has to say, okay, you've run far enough. It's time to stop running. I got some things for you to do that I want you to do. These are the answers right here. You go back and anoint the king of Syria. Would that be an answer to his situation, his problems? Well, it was. Took away his fears, changed Elijah and sent him on his way, and he did the will of God. And the Lord continued to bless him. So this morning, I know that that's just a little story that we all know. But I want to encourage us today to make good use of everything the Lord brings in our life. Thought about that last message that Brother Marty preached Sunday night on the Lord's arrows. I've thought about it ever since. I've thought about it for myself, thinking about things the Lord has allowed into my life. And I say, Lord, let it be so. Let it change me. Let it make me into the man of God that you want me to be. Let it humble me. Let it make me more dependent on you. You know what this morning? God, He wants to be in our lives everything to us. And He will be if we'll let Him this morning. What do you hear? What are you doing in the place that you're at? There wasn't any chiding from the Lord. The Lord didn't get after him for running like that. It seems foolish to me. Why did he run for 40 days and 40? I've never quite figured that out. After God was with him all those years and all the things he had done, but God never got after him. But he spoke to him and he just gave him clear direction and cleared everything up in Elijah's mind. The Lord wants to do that for you and me this morning. Everything's all right after the Lord speaks, folks. I want to look over here at Genesis, the third chapter, at another little story that we are quite familiar with, verse 8 and 9. And we find here, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden." Why did they hide themselves, tell me? They knew they were guilty, didn't they? They knew what they had done. And they hid themselves. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said," this is what God said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this." Do you know that even at this time, the greatest tragedy in man's history, besides the death of Christ, which was to our benefit, of course, the greatest tragedy, the Lord, even there, you know what He promised? A Redeemer. He promised one. You know what redeem means? It means to buy back. He promised that there would be one that would come that would take care of that serpent. And so this morning, I just want to bring that little bit of good news to us today, folks. I want to tell you something. Where art thou this morning? Where are you today? I want to tell you something. God cares about where you're at. And He knows where you're at. And He's not here to chide. He's here to give hope. He's here to give help this morning. And so I want to encourage us today. I know Adam and Eve paid a price for that. And God did command judgment upon them. But at the same time, He provided hope tonight, today. And so this morning, they got in their place, not as Elijah did by fear and running and all of those things. They got in that place by disobedience. They knew what they had done. So I want to ask us this morning, where are we today? Are we in a place of obedience? I hope we all are. I know some of us are. It is a blessed place to be in, to obedience to the Lord. It is a place of great blessing and worship to the Lord. And He wants it to take us there. Or are we in disobedience? Or are we in fear? Are we running? Where are we at in our journey with the Lord? You know, the Lord might make some earthquakes and fires and winds and all of these. Folks, that's not necessarily the Lord, but it's the Lord getting our attention. And so He wants us to say, "Yes, Lord, speak. Your servant hears this morning." I believe in that today. And I want to encourage all of us, as the Lord works in our lives, let's just have one word to say to Him. You know, Elijah had quite a bit to say. "The reason I'm here is because of all these things," but the Lord never really acted like he heard that. He had something to say to Elijah. And He had some things He wanted Elijah to do in his life. This morning, I believe that the Lord has some things that He wants to do in our life too. Are we mesmerized maybe by something in our life? Something stolen our heart from the Lord? Or bigger? Maybe it's bigger, a little bigger now than what God was. If you look at the seven churches in Revelation, you realize that we have to be careful, don't we, in our life, and keep our love centered on the Lord. Because if we don't, the Lord is faithful to us, just like He was to the seven churches. He'll rock our boat. He'll send us a message and try to tell us, "Listen, I know you've done all these good things, but I want you to repent and do the first works." So I ask this morning not to condemn anybody at all, but where are we at today? I'm convinced there's some here in the perfect order of the Lord walking, and then there's some probably that aren't. And there may be some running, and there may be some mesmerized by things around them and the world. You know what? The Lord will rock our boat and get a hold of our attention. And that's when we say, "Lord, let your arrows hit me right where it counts. Let it hit the sweet spot so that I respond to you." I'm going to be honest with you. I've been doing that lately myself. "Lord, I want you to hit me right where I need to be hit, because I want to be humble. I want to be in the place that you want me to be. I want to be able to be used of you." And you know what? I believe the Lord will be faithful to us this morning. And He cares about us. Maybe we're meeting something that's really hard to overcome. You know what? I want to encourage you today to let the Lord speak and let him minister to us in that place. I want to read another place over here in John, the 20th chapter and the 19th verse. And here we find the disciples of the Lord, 20 and 19 of John. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" Do you know that you and I, in the places that we get in once in a while, and maybe fear is overwhelming to us at that moment? Do you know the Lord knows that too? And He visited these people, these disciples, and He came to them and He stood in the midst of them. Just appeared in the midst of them, it sounds like. Well, isn't that something? You ever had God do that for you? And He spoke into their lives and He said, "Peace be unto you." And when He had so said, He showed them His hands and His side. There's a lot of things the Lord wants to show us. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, And here he begins to speak to him. Now then, I got your attention, and I found you where you are, in your place of fear and hiding. And now I want to tell you something. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And that's what he wanted to say to him this morning. And those 12 disciples, those 11 there, they went out to all the world and they gave their lives for this thing this morning. So I want to encourage us today. God wants to speak into our lives. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I think many times we wonder, Elijah was probably like 40 days and 40 nights, and here he was in a cave, and it was dark, and he was alone, and he was afraid maybe, and God just met him right there, and he didn't chide him. He just gave him clear direction. This is what I want you to do. Folks, this morning, I want to encourage each one of us. God wants to give us clear direction. He wants to speak to our lives. And he wants us to continually be ready for him. Maybe we'll read a little bit more. Luke 12 and 35. Listen to what the Lord speaks here. He wants to speak these things into our life this morning. He said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. You know what that means, loins girded about? That means they had their garments up. They were ready to run, ready to do, ready to go. They didn't have anything else to do. That's what you do just before you leave. You gird up your loins, if you study that a little bit. And he says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. You know, lots of times what the Lord wants to do is get our attention, and then he wants to tell us, listen, I want you to be like this right here. This is what I want you to be like. I want you to be ready all the time. I want you to have your loins girded about, and I want you to be like somebody that's at the ready, and they're waiting for the knock on the door, and they're ready to go. I want you to be that way in your soul this morning. I believe the Lord wants us to be that way. And he's told us we don't know the day or the hour or any of those things. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to get our attention. And then he wants to speak. He's not interested in wrangling over and over with us. He's interested in us saying, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. He's interested in us wrapping our mantle around our head and saying, Lord, would you speak? Let that quiet voice speak to me. Let your word speak into my life. And so I believe the Lord loves to do that. And I think about John the Revelator. And you look over there, and the Lord said, surely I come quickly. And you know what John said? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. John was ready and prepared. The Lord had spoken into his life, and John had given it. He was ready. He was at the ready. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You come quickly, I'm ready. You know, this morning, I hope we're all in that place. If not, let's get there. And let's let the Lord just draw us into his place. He wants to speak. And all the things, the commotions that happen in our life are many times just, it's the knock. It's the, hey, I want to say something to you. Jesus said one place that if any man would open the door, that he said he knocks. And he said, if any man will open the door, I'll come in to him. And I'll sup with him. That means that I'll have supper with him. I'll sit down and eat with him. I'll speak with him. Do you know this morning what the Lord is really wanting from you and I? He wants us to open the door. Lord, come in and speak in my life, because that's all I want is your words. Y'all pray for me.